The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Thank you very much. It's an immense joy to be here this morning. And I have a sense that we've been building towards this for 50 years, and that together we're going to do something in the spirit realm that's going to change the future of Australia. I want to encourage you to take hold of your place in that. Particularly want to welcome my mum, my family, and special guests who've come from Northern Territory and other states to be here, and some of our Indigenous people who've come to support Diambara and I as we take this step together. I want to thank you for supporting me through missions here at Rangeville, and also for those of you who support me directly and privately in intercession and in support and giving me somewhere to go and just blow off some steam after I come home from Arnhem Land. Truly, this is a body of Christ thing. And I want to start today by encouraging you not to see missions as something disconnected from who you are. Each one of us is called by God to make a difference, to have an impact. And I have watched as my life has stretched on, that every time I stepped out of my comfort zone and was willing to let go of control, which are two of the hallmark idols of Western Christianity, was to come into a space where God could build my confidence in Him. And so each assignment got bigger and more diverse and more extraordinary. And this is by far the biggest, the most terrifying, the most awe-inspiring, and the one with the greatest hope that I have ever been involved with. And today I want to share with you something that I think is about to shift in our nation. But before I do, let me pray. Father, we're here. You have brought together some extraordinary connections so that we could all be in this room together today. And I'm asking, Father, that you would shift our nation, that you would shift me, that you would shift us in relation to Aboriginal people here in Australia. Father, help us not to look away, but to turn and look with love, with open hearts and open minds. Father, replace hopelessness and despair with hope and a way forward. Replace fear with fearlessness and systemic deception with truth. Set us free today, Lord, to hear your heart for Indigenous Australians. Today was planned out months in advance. But we are seeing a debate rage in our nation right now. I'm having conversations with all sorts of people where the voice of Aboriginal people is beginning to create tension. And it depends which political party you're in, what game you're playing. And I just want to declare that it's the body of Christ who has the authority and the responsibility to restore justice and righteousness in our nation. So don't be distracted by the games people are playing about the voice of Indigenous people. The Lord is trying to do it, whatever the politicians say. And it's about to happen, and it's about to happen through us, through the body of Christ. And it will bring rest for our souls. When we acknowledge the ancient ways, when we understand the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob as seen through Indigenous eyes, Australia will enter a place of rest that we haven't had since the foundation of our nation. This is the biggest assignment of my life so far. It's been the most thrilling, as I said, the most terrifying, the most exhausting, but also the most life-giving and the most powerful and the one with the greatest potential to shift a nation. But it started with me learning to be myself and to pursue what God told me to pursue and to pursue joy, so that as I minister, I'm in an area where joy floods back and I can keep going and I don't get run dry. I have been pursuing that and getting out of my comfort zone and losing control every day for years now. I travel around the world. Some of you know I've ministered in more than 30 countries, and I talk about hearing the voice of God and separating it from what your mind is saying, what your emotions are saying, what your will is saying, so that you can know that you know that you know it's God, and you can be radically obedient and do exactly what he says. I talk about your destiny and knowing that you have one, because we sometimes lose it in the mush of Christianity, that you have a destiny, and if you can live fearlessly, you will walk in that destiny and you will see things happen that you won't believe could happen. It's about knowing who you are and being who you are, rather than being a copy of somebody else. No matter how amazing that person is, a copy is not authentic. I talk to people about fear and what brings fear and what makes us afraid, and then how to deal with the chicken-sized demons and the goat-sized demons and the cow-sized demons, so that the whale-sized demons can eventually be defeated in our communities. The whole foundation of kingdom is about relationship. It's about you knowing who you are, knowing who God made you to be, and stepping into it. And so you may be doing stuff that makes no sense. When I clowned, it didn't make sense that I was going to Arnhem Land. When I was a Boys Brigade leader, it didn't make sense. When I went overseas and started teaching, it didn't make sense. It all comes together as you build your confidence in God, and God builds his confidence in you. So when I couldn't travel overseas because of COVID, the Lord seamlessly rearranged me to be in Arnhem Land just as it all shut down. And he said, David, the 12 years we've put in here, I'm now going to consolidate. And so I transitioned to living in Arnhem Land, living there and then coming away, so as not to build the dependency that we have built so easily with indigenous communities. And it's because of these things that I'm teaching. Be yourself. Be Aboriginal. Be who God created you to be. Identify where the fear is coming from. Let's get to that fear and pull it down. Let's work that. It's because of that that I've been able to approach Aboriginal communities and Aboriginal ministry in a totally different way. And so we've called this message, Doing Indigenous Ministry Done Differently. So what do I do in the land? I don't come with an agenda. I don't have a particular Western worldview of what the church should look like, because I've been setting people free from the religious structure for years and into the kingdom all over the world. And so it was with this combination of teachings that I've been able to come and just sit in Aboriginal communities all over Arnhem Land and sometimes in Western Australia and just be me. Just humbly sit there and try not to impose my dominant Western culture on Indigenous people. Listening, supporting, facilitating Christian leaders who have a heart to see God move to get together. I get to meet them in lots of different communities, and it costs $700 to travel from one community to another. So I become the ability to say, hey, here's somebody else with this same passion. Here's somebody else who's saying the same thing. And starting to bring across a nation, one nation of Arnhem Land, which I'll show you in a moment, so that they can become 100% Yolngu, 100% Aboriginal, and 100% Christian, without having to go through Western frameworks and Western thought. I encourage clan leaders to take the responsibility and the authority that God has already given them, and which we cut across, government structures cut across, church structures cut across, so that they can disciple their nation, their clan nation within the nation. It's important that I start to discern clearly which part of my Western culture pleases God and which parts don't, so that I'm trying not to impose that onto another culture which is stunningly beautiful and rich, and which we in Australia have been taught not to look at, to turn away. There's nothing to see here. Move on. I support Christian leaders to find, to create, to integrate real Christianity that can thrive in their own community because it makes sense, that it's contagious because it's real. And it's not a copy of what we have been telling them they need to do. The full truth of Christ's transforming power through the way they see the world. One day, they will share that with us. And I can guarantee that we will be enriched. I'm only going to be able to touch on a small part of what I've learned today. If you would like more, if this touches your heart, if you believe God is speaking to you, I'm more than happy to come to cell groups or even come over to your place and have a chat about what God is doing to turn this nation on its axis. We see the rumblings of it in the physical realm. We see them desperately fighting and trying to get their own. But it's political, guys. It doesn't represent the traditional Aboriginal people of this land. So what's my purpose for sharing? This morning my purpose is to provide with you an opportunity to interact in a positive, life-giving way with the future of Aboriginal people in Australia. A future which is going to be very different from the past. I'm encouraging you not to look away, but to be willing to look at this with your eyes wide open, with your hearts wide open, and with your minds wide open. I'm going to share some facts that may shock you, may mortify you, may make you squirm. Please don't look away. Some of what I say may offend everything you have been told about Aboriginal people in Australia. Some of what I've seen breaks my heart, and I have to come home to recover from the injustice that I'm seeing perpetrated day in, day out, methodically and systematically. Since Europeans arrived, we have not seen the richness, the complexity and the beauty of Indigenous culture, and we have not listened to their voice. We have come in as a culture that is accidentally dominant, to a culture that is accidentally submissive, and we've got locked into that place. But there is a way forward. I believe that God is wanting to release Aboriginal Indigenous people into their destiny. I think it's a world-changing destiny that will bring a great revival. But there's been a long-standing attempt to snuff it out. Not just 200 years ago, not just 100 years ago. The way we are interacting with Aboriginal communities today, we are continuing to snuff it out. Four of my senior Aboriginal friends who knew Jesus, who were alive during the revival on Elko Island, have died in the last 12 months. And Dangambar is here to try to save that happening to her. I'm going to show you a video briefly so that you can get a sense of what I do up there. And then I want to talk to you a little bit about why the church actually has the authority to fix this. Because we were involved from the very beginning in setting the course we've been on. Thanks.
This is my home back here in Toowoomba. And I have flown across to Darwin and then flown across into Elko Islands in the Northern Territory. This is where the Indigenous people are believed to have originally come in to Australia. So some of you will recognize over here, Darwin, you know where that is, and then Kakadu National Park is all here. And then where Kakadu finishes, so here Arnhem Land begins. So it's a very large area that's preserved, lots of forests. I'm in this community called Gullywinkle with about 2,000 Aboriginal people. Yesterday I saw a 3-meter crocodile just sitting in the water here waiting for something to come down to the edge. And what I'm doing here is supporting the Christian leaders to look at what's the Yuma way, what's the Aboriginal way of doing church, and how will they find leadership, and how will they find a way of being the church in their community that works with an Aboriginal mindset and an Aboriginal leadership mindset. And so taking what the Lord has taught us and turning it into a Yuma style of Christianity that will survive and that doesn't cause more trauma and more stress and more conflict, which a lot of Western thought and Western stuff has already been pretty good.
Some of the things that David facing and the group that were involved with David, we were just, you know, there was some sort of a struggle that we faced, it was very difficult, but through that time, the struggle, God has a way for us. Yeah, and what I've seen that the fruit that David produced in that team with all the Yolmo leaders made us different, and we can feel that even we felt stressed out, but somehow we had to communicate. But at the end, there was a good cluster of teamwork. The unity produced well together. It was so unusual that we started, but somehow we had to take hold of that. It was the main focus. We had to keep in touch, communicate, work together. Even we were not ready, but by the end, we just thank David. Thank you, David, to be able to come here and work with us.
So banners have been in their culture for over 500 years, so the banner man just naturally fits in with God's banners. Amazing to watch. So by being myself and being humble enough to learn what's important to them, relationships have built and trust has built, which is quite extraordinary, and God has used really powerfully.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1,
white people never get to hear the meaning behind the dance. $26 for a $6 towel. I didn't know this lady. She walked across town half an hour to find me in my garden to tell me what God had told her in a dream. And it's what the Christian leaders think, but it's against government policy.
Okay. She believes that the Lord has spoken to her in a dream while you were asleep?
Yeah.
In a dream. And the Lord said, there are too many people in Gullywinkle. They're like prisoners here. They need to go back to their homelands, to the freedom of the homelands, and to be free there.
This is one of the homelands nearby. We're preparing for another funeral and clearing the space with the Christians walking around to ask the Lord to bless the process of the funeral that's going to happen for the next 7 days. Thanks. I just want to comment on these last three images. That map of Australia was the map of preventable deaths, and Arnhem Land is the little black corner sitting at the top. So Aboriginal people who have had a revival, who have seen God manifest in their own culture, not in a Western culture, for a period of years until we ship them off to teach them how to do it Western way, are now being killed off at the fastest rate of anywhere in Australia. There's something about to break. There's something that God is trying to do, and the enemy has caught a sniff of it, and he's killing off the Christian leaders faster than anywhere else in Australia. I believe that's why I am in Arnhem Land. And the 125 grams of blueberries, which I've bought in Coles here for $3, that was right, $18.75. You want a chocolate cake, $92. You want a birthday cake, $180. The injustice, the rape of Aboriginal people, financially, emotionally, mentally, continues every single day in our name. It's time for the church to know its authority and its responsibility, and I believe that's what's happening now. I have had the immense privilege of being able to sit with men and women of God whose faith is more profound than in most of the countries I travel. I come not with an agenda, not with key performance indicators to meet, not with buckets of money to get them to do what I need them to do so I can fulfill my closing the gap criteria, not to save them from their aboriginality, but just to sit with them and say, yes, you can. God created you aboriginal. There is something precious and unique in who you are. I believe that Arnhem Land is one of the main places where Indigenous people arrived in Australia after the Great Flood. 700 years after the flood, they travelled from the Tower of Babel down to the east, across through India and up into the archipelago, and they came down across a land bridge, which is now Elko Island. So the seawater was much lower, and whole tribes could travel across where I now live on this island. That makes it a gateway, a spiritual gateway into this nation. Other migrations happened as well, but the importance of a gateway and midwifing an area comes in. This nation has been preserved by God from the ravages of what has happened to most of the other 500 nations. Did you know there are 500 nations in Australia? Half of them we've decimated. There are a couple which remain intact, and Arnhem Land is one of those. Every one of its 15 clans has a male leader and a female leader alive today. They speak their languages, they sing their songs, they dance their dances, they know their history, they remember the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that revealed himself to them before we came with the final part, the Jesus part, which they didn't know about. From there, here they've spread out to across the rest of Australia. And if you look at the trading routes that existed in Australia before Europeans came, there's a main flow that comes out from Arnhem Land. Aboriginal people made stuff and traded stuff all over this huge nation. Literally, stuff from Arnhem Land has been found in Melbourne. Okay, that trading route was affected by the Indonesians who came into the top there and traded trepang and pearls, shipped them off to China. So the indigenous people were trading with the Chinese hundreds and hundreds of years before we came. And so it became a critical area of stuff coming into the nation. They've guarded it. Some of the Muslim stuff tried to come in, and it was the people of Arnhem Land who repelled it. I don't have time to tell you that story today. So Arnhem Land is a key area for international commerce. It's a key gateway to the nation, and it's a spiritual gateway because it's a place of entry and authority. If you do a study on gateways in the Bible, that's where the elders sat. That's where decisions were made. That's where Jesus was baptized. And his father said, "This is my son with whom I'm well pleased." It was the gateway into Israel. These nations, clan nations, are as different as Jordan, Austria, United Arab Emirates, Switzerland, and Belgium, and Israel. And the Yolngu people inhabit a land bigger than all of those nations I've just mentioned. It's one of the largest areas of land, and it has been preserved and protected. I've also worked with the Noongar Nation in the southwest corner. So it's a really very strategic place that God has preserved and protected. It's damaged, but it's intact. Have we ever considered the immense privilege of being a Western nation that has other nations inside us that actually think completely differently, see the world in a completely different way, have solutions that we can't think of because of the way we think? And yet they are despised and rejected, and they are not listened to. I've had elders say to me, David, we have the answers, but nobody's asking us. David, we have solutions, but nobody's listening. Arnhem Land also had a massive revival. The biggest revival in Australia came, and they were dancing Yolngu style worship songs until we told them we didn't understand what they were singing and they were saying, and we gave them cassette tapes and told them to please dance to our Western music. We took them off to train them in Bible colleges and sent them back with a Western power, control, and comfort perspective that destroyed their leadership and destroyed the communities. It's happened all over the world. All over Australia. I'm just working with Arnhem Land. They have an entire culture that has a deep understanding of God. The scripture says that there is no excuse, Aboriginal people. Romans 1:20 says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and his divine nature have been clearly seen and understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." Some of the most profound relationships with God are with the elders, the men, the women that I sit with, the managers, the Jungbaya, who know God, but know God, but know God, but know God. It's not a theory. It's practical. It's real. And we don't hear them. We don't hear their voices. When Pedro Fernandez de Quiros, as some of you would know him by, declared that this was a great south land of the Holy Spirit, not a single Western Christian was in the land. How presumptuous of us to think that the Holy Spirit was going to come when we came. I tell you, the depth of understanding is breathtaking. But the Western way of doing things cuts across it and disempowers those who already have the authority and the responsibility. One of the things that I see in Arnhem Land is that they say we have the answers, but nobody's listening. As soon as Westerners think we understand the problem, we just step in, we take over, and we make it happen our way, in a room, fast as, and using resources that we're comfortable with, but that they don't have. Even in a Christian context, we impose setting up the church in a meeting place before everybody arrives. We come with a Western framework, with a piano, the microphone at the front, and all the seats in rows. It's unconscious. We think we're helping. We don't actually stop and say, how would Jesus do this? Because Jesus has been so whitified in our own culture that we're not aware that Jesus probably wouldn't have set up a microphone. Jesus probably wouldn't put rows of chairs. He wouldn't make a front and a back, because he was more Eastern than Western. And Yolngu are more Eastern than Western. I don't have time to go through all of that. Biblical Christianity actually makes a lot more sense in a Yolngu culture, in an Aboriginal culture. There's a lot of Bible verses that make much more sense when you read them from an Indigenous point of view. There's a wealth and a richness and an understanding in Yolngu culture, but we keep whitewashing it and devaluing it because we say it's not good enough, because it doesn't measure up the way we're used to measuring Christianity. So why is the church important in this space? The church is important because we are, because we were and are, part of the devaluing and civilizing process. I don't have time to get started on that. We became an extension of government. The church was hand in hand in breaking down Aboriginality and making it illegal to do certain things, particularly in the church. Punishing people for being Aboriginal, for speaking Aboriginal languages, for leading like Aboriginals, and for thinking like Aboriginals. If Christian Australians would be willing to look at the world through Yolngu eyes and value what they see, and then work with them to cooperate and to mix that, both our worldviews, not demanding that they subjugate their worldview to ours, particularly not subjugating it in the name of the Lord. For 2 centuries in Australia, we have been told, don't look at it. Look away. There's nothing to see here. If we are just willing to look with open hearts and minds, if we're willing to just look at it, God is waiting to move. Once you start to look at it, you begin to see, and it breaks your heart. It's not a pretty picture. But if we as a church don't begin to look at it and recognize it, and recognize the part that we've played, it's possible that this will not be solved. Let me tell you about the church. I'm not sure if you're aware, but the church declared that there were no humans in Australia, and that this land therefore was void and could be taken in God's name. The church also declared that Aboriginal people were pagan and not worthy of placing their hands on the Bible. What that did is immediately silence Indigenous voices. It affects Aboriginal people today, and it's affected the truth in our nation for decades. You wouldn't believe the biases, even with issues that I've worked with the Aboriginal people in Toowoomba today, the injustice and the bias of the justice system. Because what that meant, by not putting their hand on the Bible, they were not able to be witnesses. So if an Aboriginal person witnessed a murder, a rape, a massacre, for all intents and purposes, according to Australian law, there were no witnesses. If a nation does that for decades, can you imagine what it does to our DNA? Can you imagine what it does to cause us to look away and not look at injustice? These are some of the core issues that have affected the truth for decades. There is breathtaking systemic injustice, including here in Toowoomba. I was working with an Aboriginal family whose son was murdered by a corrupt policeman. When they started to make inquiries, television stations in Toowoomba made an absolute mockery of the young man and destroyed the family by publishing information leaked to them by the police. Injustice in Toowoomba today. The church has been central in establishing injustice. It has the authority to repeal it over the nation. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. There are kingdom-minded Christians who have been fighting to set Aboriginal people free for decades, to keep them safe, to expose massacres that happened in secret, and they continue to do it today. The Methodist Church that was allocated Arnhem Land in the early days, in the mission days, was one of the best denominations for allowing Aboriginal people to stay on their land, to speak their languages. It's part of what has protected Arnhem Land today, so that we can hear their voice. They did it in the midst of Darwinian evolution-based model that created horrific carnage against Indigenous people, most of which you and I know nothing about because it's been hidden. Don't look away, we're told. Don't look at it, we're told. Look away. There's nothing to see here. I have been wandering in this Aboriginal space for 14 years now, and these are a few things I've tripped over. In the Northern Territory, cattle companies brought in Queensland Aboriginals to track the Northern Territory Aboriginals so that they could be massacred, shot in the back of the head from horse, to clear the land for cattle. This is just a reality. It's not an overblown story. Thousands of hectares and thousands of people were cleared. Please don't look away. I have stood in the sites of massacres, some not even recorded in Western history. Yet God knows, because his presence and his grief and his conviction as you stand on the land where the blood was shed is absolutely palpable. Shreds your heart to feel what the Lord feels for those people. The grief of the injustice. I just came from a funeral in July in Arnhem Land where I was supporting a Christian leader, major Christian matriarch, whose husband had died of exhaustion in trying to stand up for Aboriginal people. And in that site, 2 crooked policemen came through seeking justice and revenge for one of their mates from another tribe hundreds of miles away. They found some Aboriginal men in Corroboree. They shot them all. Only 2 escaped. And then the women and children came to see what that noise was because they'd never heard guns before, and they shot every woman and every child. An entire family wiped out. It's 3 generations ago. The people I'm working with, it's their great-grandfather that survived. Please don't look away. That is one that is recorded. They're starting to record all of the massacres that happened down south. Dozens of Aboriginal ears nailed to a living room wall as trophies. Don't look away. Heads given to visitors as trophies. Don't look away. In Geraldton in Western Australia, the men would bring their guns to church. And after church, they would get on horseback and they would go out to clear the country. Don't look away. In Central Australia, Indigenous people were shot to feed the dogs. Don't look away. And it's perpetuated today in modern-day Australia. We are continuing to destroy the fabric of their communities and their societies in the name of civilization, in the name of Centrelink. But most of us look away. I'm not sure if you know, but south-west Western Australia, Noongar country, before apartheid was established in South Africa, a delegation was sent from South Africa to look at how the Australians were dealing with the Aboriginal problem. And they went home and they constructed the system that we know as apartheid based on how we did it in Australia, with boundary streets, with 4:30 deadlines, with passes before you could come into town. That's the stuff we need to look at. That's the stuff that as a church we have authority, but we need to take the responsibility to undo some of this injustice. My journey has been to support Christian leaders, but in doing so, the Lord has invited me to look at this stuff. And I've come to the conclusion that in general, we do not see Aboriginal people. We do not recognize the culture. We don't recognize the skill. We don't recognize the wisdom. We don't recognize the richness that was in our nation. And thank God, some of it is still alive and held in trust by them. It is the church that is really, really crucial in establishing justice. This truth is real. It affects mothers, daughters, sisters, brothers. And I have seen the trauma, and I have lived amongst the trauma created by the injustice that is perpetrated systematically, day by day, on thousands of Aboriginal people. Arnhem Land had a revival. Of the 2,000 people, Aboriginal people living on Arnhem Land, 2,000 claim that they are believers. But here's for a spin out. 1,000 claim to be followers. It's a different way of thinking about it. But those 1,000 people are not heard. They're not seen. They're not known. So we need a different approach. We need to be willing to look on injustice and act. And I can say that because I've done it for 15 years. It hurts, but it's possible. And so I want to really encourage you guys to take the opportunity to hear, to listen, to open your eyes to what's really happening in this nation. They have a voice. They have something really important to tell us. And I believe that God put something in this country before Westerners came. They have a place where they don't have to integrate into our way of thinking and give up their own, because there is so much that we could learn from them. One of my very clearest calls, and I knew it was the Lord, was when he said to go to Arnhem Land and support Dhanbar Garaura, who is a key Christian leader. And so I have been videotaping, editing, writing letters, supporting Dhanbar as she expresses an incredibly positive, hopeful truth about reconciliation. There is more grace in the Aboriginal community. It's what's going to save us, folks. She has things to say about Jesus. She has things to say about working together, black and white. 3 years ago, she stood up at a very important meeting in the Northern Territory, and she said, it's time to set us free. And she gave a presentation about government pots and church pots and needing to be planted in our own soil so that we can produce the fruit that God ordained us to produce. A few weeks after that, she suffered a massive stroke and was extremely ill for a year. Then her husband died, and it was extremely traumatic. And then in February, when she was ready to come here for a healing retreat, which is what Dangombara is here for today, she had another massive set of medical case of infections over her whole body. She caught melioidosis, which nearly killed her, and she had a second stroke. I believe that the enemy is trying to snuff out the voice that is buried in this nation. But miraculously, Dangombara is here with us today. We're in just at the beginning phases of her getting strong and clear again. But I would like to give Dangombara an opportunity to come up here to share with us for a few minutes and then to pray for us in your mother tongue, because English is her seventh language. So Dangombara, if you could come up and just share. And at the end, I really want to, as she comes, Ma, you want to come up? At the end, I'd like to just give you an opportunity to respond to this. And if you can say, Lord, open my heart to the indigenous people of this nation, even if it's hard, even if it's full of injustice, help me to be part of the body of Christ that takes responsibility for the religious structure's part in oppressing people. You happy to come up? Happy to come. It's a microphone. Do I have to switch her microphone on? You want to come up too, Katie? Katie is one of our friends from Brisbane. She traveled to Israel with us and is part of the plan to bring together the leading Christian leaders.
That is my nation.
Go for it.
He gave me that.
Mm-hmm.
I need to show what God has given you.
Ma.
And say to you and to all the nation, all of you, this is a God. He loves you. And he loves each and every one of us. This is God who is Tukar. Wangangai Tunumalagal. He said, all along, I went to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Israel when you took me holiday.
Yeah.
I saw it. I was in that land in Israel because I know that country. It is beautiful. It's for everybody. Yeah. And here, trees. Where's that country? Israel. Have you been to?
We went there together.
Yeah.
There's a profound love of Israel all across Aboriginal
nations. He did that. He showed it. He showed it. And it's here. All of us, we are beautiful. And this nation. Numala, Bukma, Kulimra, God said it. And he loves Bukma,
all of us.
Limra.
Bookmark.
He made it. He gave us the Wanga, the beautiful land.
Beautiful land.
All the country. Nobody comes to us, asks us. You see us because you don't want to share that. But he does. Different. He's lovely. This nation, Australia. Where's that Wanga? Where's that Wanga?
For it is
gone. Israel.
The whole of the land. The whole of the land. Dangombara, we don't have the photograph, but could you pray in your mother, in your own mother tongue, for these. Would you pray for us and for Australia?
In your mother? No, He was sorry for living for being no sister. Now he is going to do it in the nation.
We're going to do it in the nation.
We can sing.
We've not been trained just to sing. We normally have to have musicians and instruments and other stuff.
He wants to sing. He can stand up.
You want them to stand up?
What are we doing? He can stand up. And we can stand up and say to you in the whole nation, we come. He said it was my mark. So we need to say thank you for what you did. You are beautiful. Nation, you may dwell one among all along, and then our nation, Bukmako, Napurum, he is all right. Napurum, I go to Bragarai. Belegae, Napurum, Walongurum, and Napurga go to Manuara. You are beautiful, Lord. Thank you, Gaurai. It's beautiful for me. He loves you. He loves you, each and every one of us. What about boy? He's lovely. I love you. Gaurai, Napudu, saying what I mean. Because you have been faithful in that nation. And you can help Walala. You can send Walala, and every one of us can do that. It's beautiful. Our God is the God of Abraham. God of Isaac, God of Israel. He said that. No, we have never been that before for a long time. Now it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
It's a bit like trying to tell Her Majesty that the church has to finish. You're happy?
Maybe you took a play and joined with us. The other Bapuro, your own that has been in this nation for a long time. Marganito, you pray with them. I know we've got being a nation that he brought us to this nation all along from overseas. And you came to Galilee. You can come.
I think you've been told, Haloti. Would you like to come and pray for us? Haloti is one of the senior Christian leaders in the Northern Territory who has been a great support to me.
And you can pray with her.
Just pray a blessing over us, and then we'll finish. Okay, now, Ma. Then we'll have to finish.
Ma.
It's because that's what we do here.
Let us So let us pray. Loving and gracious God, you're wondrous. You're amazing. You are our Savior. This morning we gather, as we have heard from David, witnesses, and for the leader, Dangapa, for all of us, we pray that may you continue to instill, provide courage and strength for the work that's happening in Arnhem Land, for the sacrifices, for the ministries. Empower us to continue your calling on our lives, to support the clan leaders, to make your name known, O Holy God, not just to Arnhem, but the rest of Australia, as we have heard. We give you thanks for the congregation, for their support through their prayers and for financial means. And may they continue to be nourished and be blessed by that support. For this morning, we lift everyone up to you, O God, as we have been reminded, O God, rain your Holy Spirit upon us. Fill us, mold us, empower us, send us, so we could continue to be your vessels and to do your work and justice for the First Nation people in this land. This is our prayer in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07463611144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.